Labour is down in the first political poll of the year, with Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern recording her lowest score in the preferred Prime Minister stakes, while both National and its new leader, Christopher Luxon, were on the up. Our political editor, Jane Patterson, joins us now. Good morning.
Good morning.
All right, Jane, let's talk through the government's results so far. Firstly, 40%, a slight dip. They'll be disappointed in the sense that they had the summer. You might have thought that they might have picked up some gains.
I think they'll probably be quite relieved, actually, to see that party vote holding up, you know, given the challenges ahead. I think what will be worrying, though, is that slip for Jacinda Ardern in the preferred Prime Minister stakes, because she is the face of the party. She's also the face of the COVID response, and Labour relies very, very heavily on her for their popularity. So any damage to her brand will be worrying. Look, they've got a big year ahead, not just the pandemic, but they have a number of big reforms. They've got the health reforms, they've got Three Waters, which carries with it a great deal of political risk, and of course this inflation, this pressure that that families, businesses and the country generally is going to come under.
Yes, and added to that, the response to inflation, which will be hikes in the official cash rate, interest rates, mortgage rates will go up, house prices are likely to fall.
That's right.
Going to be tough.
And fuel as well. You know, you see when fuel goes up, it goes right through the supply chain. It's not just at the pump, but other prices. So I think that's really going to be a big problem for Labour politically, as well as, of course, households and individuals and businesses.
The politics of inflation is interesting. So the Labour is desperately trying to say, look, this is a global problem, and much of it is. But if you dig into these numbers out yesterday, part of it is also the domestic economy. National saying, oh, it's government spending. So there's an interesting political battle around that too.
That's right. And National not actually able to say clearly, though, what big areas of spending they'd pare back. And the government makes the point that wage subsidy, billions of dollars went out to support businesses and employers last year. But again, housing in there, a political vulnerability for Labour. You know, rents and, as you say, mortgages are going to, you know, be climbing up as well. It's these costs and, again, fuel. And if the supply chain starts to have problems, then, again, that's going to compound those financial pressures as well.
Before we get to National, just a quick mention on the Greens. The 9%, that's pretty solid, given as someone was criticising them yesterday for not saying enough. But 9%... at this point of the cycle, that's a solid partner for Labour. The centre-left would be pretty happy with that, where the Greens are.
It's solid, and they have been running along at about the same support, and my feeling is that's probably their base support. It's, you know, people with that strong environmental focus, and also left voters who don't think Labour is doing enough on poverty and inequality. But I must say, the Greens have been MIA, really. I mean, they've been very quiet when a lot of the people that they could be representing, for example, low-income New Zealanders, beneficiaries, are going through such tough times. They're really going to have to step it up and actually start being a voice for some of those constituents who are facing a very tough year.
Okay, so National, a result that is certainly going the right way for them. They'd be happy with that?
Yeah, not a massive jump, so up 4, but a good increase for Christopher Luxon as National Party leader. And if you look at those trend lines, they are making ground. That gap is closing between Labour and National. Now, Christopher Luxon is doing the job that he needs to. He's got those votes back off Act. So the National voters supporters that fled after the toxicity and shenanigans over the last couple of years are starting to come home. Now he has to make inroads on that Labour vote. He has to get the tone right on the pandemic response, and I think has been doing a pretty good job on that so far. But he also needs to manage that caucus. And as we've seen, often opposition problems aren't necessarily the leader, it's the caucus and how they deal with it. And he's already got a couple of tricky situations, with Hariti Hipango and what is going to happen with her if she keeps being a liability to National. And, of course, Judith Collins. We're going to a caucus retreat in Queenstown at the start of next week, and it'll be the first time Judith Collins has been back with the caucus since losing that vote of confidence last year.
But with the polls going in the right direction, then he has that authority within the caucus to maintain the discipline.
That's
he
right.
Needs.
As we see, when the polls start to go up, the caucus comes in line. However, it doesn't take much. You know, sometimes if something blows up, if he doesn't handle it properly, it can be damaging, because I think the public tolerance, even staunch National supporters, you know, have absolutely had enough of any carry on from National. They expect them to be focused, not be distracted, and actually really be scrutinising this government.
Quick mention on ACT, who had been flying high. They have come back, as you've just mentioned, and a lot of that's gone to national. I see an op-ed out today from David Seymour in UK Press, I think it is, sort of saying New Zealand's become a hermit kingdom and that there's an authoritarian streak. So he's pushing hard down that line and trying to appeal to those New Zealanders who feel frustrated by the government's response to COVID and the restrictions. Where does National fit into that in the centre-right? The jockeying for that sort of vote is an interesting space.
Yeah, and maybe ACT can become a bit more of a strident voice on COVID if National's taking that more moderate, constructive approach to the COVID scrutiny, because they do obviously have to keep criticising the government, holding them up when it is erring. ACT might have a bit more room to be a bit more vocal, a bit more out there. I mean, we've got things, you know, that we didn't have in the last election, for example, the vaccine mandates, you know, and that is incredibly divisive. And I'm not saying ACT's going to get on board with that, but there are some very, very tricky political issues here. And ACT might have a little bit more room to be that voice, because they need to still be heard. You know, they have enjoyed the popularity bump because National was so involved in dealing with its own problems. ACT is still at a pretty good level at 11%, and I think they'll be happy with that. It's a good level of support, and also they'll be looking at the right bloc versus the left bloc as well in terms of where they're stacking up against Labour and the Greens, looking at a potential government come 2023.
Jane Patterson, our political editor, thank you as always.